The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello, and welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said that looks can be deceiving, and we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. You mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. It's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started. Today is Sunday, April 17th, 2011, if you're listening live, and it's not if you're listening to the recording. I am very excited today. The first thing I want to do is start by connecting the community. So if each one of you would allow yourselves to take a couple of deep breaths, and as you do, reach out with your energy, open yourself up to connect with all the other community of listeners, all the community of light workers on the planet. Because we're all connected, allow yourself to breathe that connection in. Okay, wonderful, feels good. I am very excited today. I am bringing my inner community, my close community, to my community out in Radio Land. I am bringing in a guest, a special guest, a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Leandra Murray. I mentioned her last week. She is a galactic shaman, an exceptionally powerful healer and teacher. I've known Leandra for about 15 years now, and it has been an amazing ride. I am very pleased to bring her here today to share with us a little bit about the process that she's been going through, exposing herself out to the world, exposing her light, exposing her work, exposing her beauty. So, without further ado, welcome Leandra.
Well, thank you, John Schulte. It's so great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you as my first guest. So, I would like to start today with just hearing a little bit from you, or a lot, who knows. I know we both ramble on pretty well. from you about how you got started. How did you make that move out of the traditional world into exposing yourself as a spiritual teacher, as a healer, as a shaman, as a galactic being of light, all the other things that you expose yourself as?
Well, mine's a little different story, as everyone's is, but it really was a great revealing from spirit, and it to me, about who I was. And it was back in 94. It was an instantaneous experience where one moment I was truly like a fairly normal human to this expansive being where I was able to see in the invisible world. And it was more dramatic because I was not studying a spiritual path of enlightenment. I was a healthcare administrator who, along with my husband, we'd created a not-for-profit home care agency. We had over 300 employees. It was a mission. It was a mission, and it was a 24/7 taking care of people so they didn't have to go into the nursing home. And my unveiling came that year at a family reunion picnic. That's where it started. One of my cousins invited me to their home the next week, and I decided to go. And when I got there, it was another unveiling because I discovered they were part of a psychic church, and they had created a labyrinth. And somehow I volunteered to be first in this labyrinth. Honestly, I don't know who raised my hand because the healthcare administrator did it.
And I never walked a labyrinth before.
That's how it happens, right? People saw rose petals hitting me as I was walking that labyrinth. And during it, just during that walk, I had this descending experience, you might say, where this light descended over me. And I could see things. I could see into the invisible worlds. And so I began to open to knowing and connecting to who I was. And I'll tell you, it was a glorious, blissful 2 weeks because I could see those invisible worlds. It was so exciting. I talked with the spirits. I knew all kinds of mystical things. I would sing to beings in the sky in the middle of the night. I really didn't sleep much because I didn't want to miss anything. And all these beings were around me, and they were friends, some of them. And so it was a very exciting time. And then after only 2 weeks, they gave me 2 weeks, and then the spirit brought me, Padre Pio came forward into my life. And this was, they just had me record a TV program about him. And I didn't ask why. I just would, if they asked me to do something, I would do it because I just was so excited about who I was. And I wasn't Catholic. I know you said you were a Reformed Catholic. Well, I was not a Catholic. My family were Quakers. And I didn't understand why this was brought about, really, and why they were pressing me about it. They gave me a big message. I did not want to hear about it. And then the next day, my sister...
Leandra,
can
I interrupt here just a second?
Sure.
And have you say a little bit about who Padre Pio is for those who might not know?
Okay. Well, Padre Pio, it turns out... he was, I believe, a Franciscan monk. And the thing is, he had stigmata. He was this tremendous healer. The church kind, and what they showed is he was in front of this statue of Christ, and a big light came from the statue of Christ, and he fell down, and then this whole thing happened to him. And he was able to heal. He gave prophecy, and the church actually kind of cloistered him off. Because he was way too popular, and they'd cloister him off, but the people always found him, and he did some great miracles, like flying. At one point, he flew in World War II and protected the village to stop the bombers from bombing. There's a lot of stories about him, and in fact, in the late 90s, they made him a saint.
Okay.
So he may not be well-known to some, and he was unknown to me until that
right.
point. And you can imagine my, what is this all about? Well, that is kind of far out there. But then my sister decides to make a visit. And the first words out of her mouth at the door is, do you know who Padre Pio is? Well, that did not make me real comfortable. And then she told me she was taking a university Lakota language class. So here she is at Merrillhurst. And this Lakota elder who's teaching this class stops the class and says, this is important. Someone needs to know about Padre Pio. Well, the message of importance that was so strong and the words they had given me was, you are the greatest healer in the world. Well, I was afraid. I mean, I didn't want this. Padre Pio had stigmata. He had no privacy.
Can you tell people what the stigmata is?
To follow where spirit led me, but I was not comfortable with this greatness, John, until many, many years later, when I realized the miracle that is each of us, that we are each of us unique, amazing, we're huge, we're divine beings, we're this great composite of amazing gifts and energy. Each person is they're such a genius, and no one can do what they can do. Each of us is the greatest healer. Each of us is the greatest, most powerful person in what we do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I do have a very specific experience that happened to me that really brought it home. But what I'd like to say is I struggled with this greatness thing. I kept saying, good is enough, until I realized it's just my instant of greatness. And I may have many instances of those greatnesses, but it's not me the greatest, and you're not the greatest. No, you are unique. The genius that is who you are is so phenomenal in the spirit world. And all of that drifts down, you know, talk about the trickle-down theory. Well, sometimes it's the thud theory. It just really comes at you.
Right.
And after a spiritual quest this January where I went to Australia and New Zealand, spirit unfolded to me that greatest healer in the world energy was my start point, supposedly. And if you recognize that expansion is the key, It's a quest for freedom. It's a quest for joy and abundance on this planet, living in this moment, experiencing all those miracles, John, that are all around us, and we've just got to quiet ourselves, not go in the past, not go in the future, be in this now moment to let them unfold, because there's many spirits and teachers out there who are waiting to witness it, wanting to be a part of it, pushing
Absolutely.
Us forward.
Can we take a step back to
Sure.
where you were talking about that fear and that struggle?
Yes.
What tools did you use? How did you get through that? How did you, I mean, it's
well,
not, it's a process. I know for me,
well,
it's
you
not
know,
that I clear it away and then it's just gone. Another step comes up and there's another piece to remove of my own limitations.
Well, I was truly so happy with who I was versus who I had been. It was such a dramatic change that I just come to terms with that I should be able to do what I want to do, so to speak, with spirit, follow spirit's plan, but if they ask me to do too much, then I could just say, hey, you know. But the truth is that standing in that light, it was so, endorphin-producing that it really propelled me forward. But now let's talk about the off moments, when you're not being propelled forward, and you start thinking about what that could mean, and getting it's easy to get when I'm thinking of my first Stargate event up in Canada that I was doing, and all these people were coming from all over. We had like 30 people signed up for this, and I knew that none of the Stargate things were correct that I was reading on the internet, and for what needed to be done. And Spirit did not divulge it. They didn't divulge it. They did, and I got pretty irritated.
They didn't give you enough advance notice of what you were going to do. I recognize that one.
Oh, it's very stressful. And I just expected it was just going to be easy and come forward. Well, I had to get to a place where that would happen. You've got to let go of expectations, of course. You've got to get in that now moment, because you're there. What are you going to do? You know, you can drive yourself into some kind of insanity, stir yourself up. But the truth is, the spirits are out there, and I knew that. And indeed, they brought it forward with a lady who was taking taking pictures with one of those Polaroid cameras, and we didn't have digital in those days. Polaroid cameras, and these white stones appeared in a circle that weren't there. And we actually then got the white stones. We found them on the property, the stone people, put it in a circle and went forward with our event. But I have found that, and I learned pretty early on that when Spirit calls you to do something and you just walk forward to do it, what I say is don't get in the way of your blessings. You're doing all this work, so don't get in the way of coming up and stirring yourself up on problems. You know, just let the bigger part of who you are, take charge. And be the objective watcher, I guess I would say.
Well, how do you let the bigger part take charge?
Well, I just, in knowing that if I try to do it, the blessings aren't going to come to me. I'm thinking of another experience where I was at an event and I was supposed to set the energies according to this native elder for this event. And when I got there, they didn't have my resume. They didn't have anything. They said, well, you know, you can either pay for this to be a volunteer. I said, I'll be a volunteer. But I didn't let myself get upset. And even though this person, who was obviously a teacher, who came to stir things up every little bit, even though that happened, I just refused to go there. Even though people kind of around me did, I didn't want to miss it. I could tell what the energies were going to feel like if I could get there. And I ended up going to the opening. The opening speaker couldn't be there, who was a Native American elder, and they, because they asked us to introduce what we were going to talk about, my words thundered so much, just like the sage did, I could feel it, that they asked me to be the keynote speaker. They asked me to open it. But had I got in my own way, oh my gosh, you know, they don't even know who I am, you know. Had I gone right there, that wouldn't have happened. You just
well,
have
you
to
just
get
spoke
out of your
up.
Way.
That is exposing yourself, you know. You said,
yes,
I'm
it is exposing yourself and trusting.
And they heard you.
They heard me.
Yeah.
They heard me.
Enough to have you step up and do that keynote.
Yes. Nobody knew me that was there. That's right.
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah.
All the spirits did.
You're right about that. They did. Of course
that's
they did.
That's one thing I think we forget a lot of the time is we're looking out here just seeing the bodies rather than all the energy beings with us.
That is so true. And one of the great things that I have is I'm able to close my eyes and focus into that consciousness that's within, where we are connected with everything, and see those things move about. So, I mean, that gives me certainly a step forward, being able to see the invisible worlds. I mean, oh, I do know they are there. Oh, yeah. So
well,
that
you
is
see,
correct.
How would you suggest somebody who doesn't see them connect with that consciousness?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I was thinking about the people that I worked with and some of them that have moved so forward quickly. And one was this man who came was a friend of a friend. And she decided to bring him to my house because she knew I was a shaman. And he had been studying for 12 years with an Indian guru. And he was from Holland. And I asked how he was taught, and he said, well, I ask a question, and then he asked me a question. I said, for 12 years? And I said, well, what kind of visions do you see? And he said, I don't see visions. My head looked, I really twisted and looked at him hard. I thought, what, the girl for 12 years? And so I just turned my back on him, and all of a sudden he says, I see Buddha. I says, well, you can't see Buddha because you don't see visions. Well, that guy went into a three-day writing and channeling. He hardly slept. It was really dramatic. I really don't know what spirit did to trigger him, but he got triggered. So
brought him to you?
What? Wait, pardon?
Spirit brought him to you.
Spirit brought him to me, and he linked. I've worked with people that talk about Zen, and I'll put them into that Zen experience, and I'll never be able to do it again because they believe that if you go and you can't ask for Zen, it happens. But, you know, I don't have many of these beliefs of not because I've seen so much. But let's talk about people that are wanting to see, wanting to hear signs that they can look for that somehow they don't feel they're in touch. And, of course, in the very act of thinking they're not in touch, they pull themselves out of that moment. Remember that powerful moment. The presence, a powerful point of power. So they can link with, you know, when you're in that power and you walk in the forest, the trees will talk to one another and say, they're coming, she's coming. They know who you are. You can talk to the cloud people. You can take a stone, and that stone, put it in your hands, and it'll heat up and tell you things. The stone often will have something on it that will tell you about it if you really look at a stone. I mean, that's a very simple thing, very, very simple thing. You can ask in the dream time. Well, I think the genie in Open Sesame, I think it's Open Says Me. You are the power. You are the power. So when you want to go to sleep at night, you can say, Self, Spirit, who I am, I want to dream tonight. You know, I want to walk in this world. I want the spirits to talk to me. I know that you're around me all the time, and I want a sign. Totem animals come. Of course, I live in the forest, but wilderness here, but totem animals.
That makes it a little easier.
It does make it easier for the totem animals to connect. Most people don't see eagles, and I was wondering if a bear was going to come down while I was talking. I mean, it certainly has happened many times. I've seen a wolf. But anyway, these animals will come forward to give you them as totems. But here's my belief. I believe that people live in cities because they don't get the regular signs, but they have signs all over them, on the license plates, on the bumper stickers. What comes out at you and what does it say? What song comes on the radio? What, you know, you're getting things happening all the time because the bigger you is giving you instructions all the time, really.
Absolutely.
Trying to get you there. You have all these teachers that are trying to teach you, and you're a teacher, of course. And they're trying to teach you things. They're trying to get you to open up and expand. And in my own work, what, of course, these things live around us, as you well know, John. And
Absolutely.
When people come to you, there's all this stuff that's going on, and even if you can't see in the visible world, you get these hits, so to speak, of what this person is saying. For me, I'm seeing it move around them. And
right.
So I'm able to move out those things that are stopping them from connecting with the divinity and open up those windows of potential that are there. They can ask for that. You know, they can ask for that themselves in their dream time. And they're going to have different successes. I mean, we are all so different, but don't ever give up because it's truly who you are. You are this amazing composite being. And one of the things I talk to my clients about is to ask for this reality to be the powerful one, because there are many realities going on out there. I want this reality to be the powerful one. I want to really live in this reality. I want be a part of this as a human.
That's a good key right
there. Standing in my divine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if any of those things help.
I think another huge key is the listening.
Pardon?
We're so used to talking. A lot of people have trouble listening to spirit. They'll talk to the trees, but they won't listen for a response.
Well, in fact, if you really think about it, one way to really be in the present is to listen. I mean, to other people. And if you listen, truly listen in the present moment to other people, you'll be surprised at how things resolve themselves in relationships. I mean, they may resolve themselves, you leaving, of course, but but if that's to be, that's to be.
Well, and that brings up the fear of change, which when we come out of the box and start to expose ourselves and start to share more of our power, more of this alternate reality that we live in, more of the weirdness that we have. Other people around us are going to have a reaction, and we need to stay centered to not get knocked off that reaction, to go back to where we were, to go back to the small place.
You know, that's absolutely true. And in fact, I think it's a dishonor to go back, because what you're saying to other people is, hey, you can't rise up to my level.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, think about it.
Well, I love the Marianne Williamson quote.
What is that?
That often gets attributed to Nelson Mandela. It's not, I'm going to paraphrase and butcher it, I'm sure. It's not our darkness that we fear, it's our light. Who am I to be so wonderful, so beautiful, so talented, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
Who are you not to be? You're a child of God.
That's right.
And as we step into our light, it gives others permission to step into theirs. And
Absolutely.
They're trying to suppress us and get us to be small again is because they're afraid to step into their power. They're afraid to find their own light.
And in many ways, if we could think of it as it's none of our business what they think about us and none of our business what we think about them. I mean, you know, in a way it's God's business. And of course we are God, but when you get up to that God level, when you get up to those higher levels, you are an objective, non-judgmental being. Life is interesting. It's not that you're not observing it. It's just,
right.
So what? Wow, isn't that person diverse? that's a very interesting thing for that person to do. So it's, and the more non-judgmental you are, the better your life's going to be. It's an amazing thing. But unhooking yourself from people that pull you into that, and those are maybe the same people you're afraid. You have fear, you know, because you know they just can be poisoned. You have fear of what they're going to say. Well, you know what? You're going to make new friends. You're going to have new work. It's once you get into a different place, and drop away all those shoulds and coulds and musts, and you stand in your power of light, things shift. Things shift for you in many, in all directions, really. We'll shift, we shift back because sometimes we, you know, people are so uncomfortable and we feel it. Well, you know, that is their problem, really. And you don't want to make it yours. We know that, John. You and I know that. We don't want to make it ours.
No.
Because we want to live a happy life, one of joy, absolutely, one of abundance, one of freedom.
You said something a moment ago that reminded me of a book. And the title of the book is What You Think of Me is None of My Business.
Oh, there you go. That's perfect.
And I don't know who the author is. It's a little paperback. It's inexpensive. If you want to do some self-therapy and clear out some garbage about that fear of exposing yourself, it's a wonderful book to do that with.
If you start listening, and Spirit starts telling you to do things, even if you have fear, it usually works out well. And I'll give you an example here. I mean, this was one of my most unusual, I think, things that happened to me. In a small way, but kind of a startling way, Spirit has given me messages to strangers for a lot of years, and I really listen because I want to give the message to the right person, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but one of the most startling ones was in Starbucks. It happened in Washington State, and I was standing in back of a very, very large black man. He looked like a professional linebacker from the back. This guy was big. And the spirits, now listen to this, they wanted me to tell him his ancestors wanted him to do ceremony. Now, I'm standing in Starbucks, right? And this is, they're pushing me. I mean, they're pushing me. And so, anyway, I was like, wow, okay. Well, I finally tapped him on the shoulder, and it turned out he was from Samoa. And he was uncomfortable as I'm telling him. His ancestors wanted him to do the ceremony, and I couldn't see what the ceremony was. I just couldn't see it. And after a while, he kind of looked really sad, and he told me that his father, who was a chief, had died. And he was the only son, and his uncle was going to become the chief that day. But his uncle didn't have sons either. So when his work was done here in the States, what he said was another 7 years, he'd have to go back and take over the duties of the chief. Now, I knew it was going to be a lot less than 7 years. But the ancestors were so happy because they united his energies with the tribe from across the seas.
Nice.
It's an amazing thing. And what if I hadn't have done that? I would have missed out on all that endorphin fun. That was exciting.
It is fun
exciting.
When the flow's there.
Yeah. Yeah. So life in the fast reveal lane or the slow revealing, it brings joy. To me, haven't you found, John, that in your revealing, when you're in balance with it, of course, it's the most fabulous thing?
Oh, absolutely. It's flying.
Nasty,
it's freedom.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's freedom.
Yeah, and it's freedom. It is freedom. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've just had so many experiences, and sometimes I've had to reveal. I remember at that same Native Elder conference after that happened, I was invited to go with the Native Elders up from Mexico on a journey up to Sedona, Arizona, up on a mountaintop to do ceremony. And they actually had these things we were whistling in, which turns out, we find out later, were called Voyagers, and they were called this lady was a Mayan elder, and we were calling the ships in. And,
right.
And they actually did have some kind of a thing happen, which the authorities said they had shot something off. But I always did wonder about that. But when we got back from that 24-hour without sleep trip, there was a Native elder who said the Lady of the Rocks would give prophecy to him that day. Well, my talk was releasing the karma from the stones. And, yeah. So here we
Imagine
are sitting
that.
At this table, sitting at this table. And I told him many things of prophecy, but it was really hard for me to reveal it to him in some ways very strongly because this guy was so humble, and I knew this was going to be a difficult path because it was a path of greatness. Here's this humble elder, and I'm telling him this path of greatness. I knew it wouldn't be easy because it had to do with the white people too, and it wasn't going to be traditional. but it was going to be fabulous and very fulfilling. And they told me things in detail. I told it to him. And in the end, he became a chief. I mean, here I got two chief stories, but he became a chief. And I'm still connected with him. He calls for me to do, you know, prayer ceremony and stuff for when he needs to, and just to talk. And our paths have crossed many, many times in very similar ways. I got a horse named Blue Bear. I got it at the Nespers, 90% Foundation horse, and as a medicine horse, and he got a van given to him the same month. He called it Blue Bear because it was like a van in blue. So, I mean, you see, yeah. I mean, so Spirit's telling you things all the time. They, you know?
Sometimes when it's that difficult beginning to step through, to be able to share, to be able to reveal in this way, it creates something that much more powerful because we're letting the wall down. I remember when I was first starting channeling at one of the walking conferences.
Yeah.
The first one I really think that I did channeling at all. I don't remember her name. What I remember is that this woman was the stereotypical grandmother. Little gray pin curls, looked like she walked out of a Norman Rockwell painting.
Uh-huh.
And she comes and sits down in the room in front of me, and I open up to do the channeling, and I don't remember who I was channeling either, but when I channel, I'm conscious in the background, just kind of observing, and they just lit into her, whoever it was. They said, "You need to get back on your path," and they're cussing at her, and they're doing all this, and I'm in the back of my head going, well, I guess I'm going to have to find something else to do. I thought that was it. She was going to hit me with her handbag or something, and I would never be channeling again. And at the end of it, she reached over and she patted me on the hand gently. And they were like that for the whole hour, just in her face. She pats me on the hand at the end, and she says, "Thank you. I couldn't have heard it any other way."
Wow.
And that was a huge point for me of letting go of what my expectations were about how the work looked. About how I shared, it's like I'd been doing a lot in the hands-on healing and things where I would get messages from Spirit and I would argue with them till I got the language just right about what I was supposed to tell that person. But this was a whole nother level of getting out of the way. So what I'd like to do now, if you wouldn't mind, is share a little bit more about the development, the unfoldment of the work that you do and what you do now. What does it mean that you're a galactic shaman, and how did you get there?
Well, it's interesting. You know, living in this little bliss box that they had given me, I was so it's just so wonderful to be happy. Oh, my God, I was happy. In fact, the morale of the agency changed because I think I just didn't have karma with anybody. And the human resources person came up to me, she says, "Things just have changed. But I didn't. And I was so happy. I mean, I would do healing on these people. Every Friday, I just would open my door and people would come in. I mean, from the employees, and they'd bring clients. I mean, I really was happy, and I didn't care who knew it. In fact, my sister thought that I was going to get taken away. But the way they put in a little white box, I guess. Well, and yeah, I was out there. Oh, well, anyway, it started with, they told me that I would be doing, not only was I doing this healing, but I was going to do symbols. And they told me the name of the company was Symbols of Sethi, meaning magical symbols. And I thought, oh, great. I'm going to open this up and all these people are going to come forward. I really believe this. All these people are going to come forward, because I was not an artist, and, you know, bring these symbols to me. Well, within a couple of weeks, I realized it was me that was supposed to come up with these. And I did a lot of geometric kinds of things, but they were symbols that did all kinds of things. And one little child saw these symbols one time, and she said, well, that's like a Stargate. So she could tell they were portals, and they were. So right from the beginning, my symbols were portals into the invisible world. And they did many different things. I mean, it was just, anything I focus on, you know, it just comes forward, really. It's, it's just being in that expanded reality. You know, when you realize that everything's alive and it's an ongoing thing, it's an ongoing expansion of evolution in the reality. I mean, I mean, that's, I sure didn't know that at the beginning, but I know it now. And so my work was about connecting with those other invisible worlds, because I'd say that if people could see in the invisible worlds, our world would change in 24 hours, boom. Because they could see if they said something against someone else, it came back at them. It was around their energy streams. It was lodged in there. Right. And if they say good things, then it's, you know, it's it, that's around them. So they can have a glorious existence, but our belief systems don't seem to allow us to do that, unfortunately. So that's what these symbols did. And I did that for a while, but quite frankly, most people didn't get it. Enlightened people got it. People that were had been on paths get it. They could touch it and feel it buzzing, you know. They could feel the energy of it. And so I did that for a while, and then from there, I just began to channel. I just began to work with people. Anything I could focus on, I could become a part of, and I began to have this wondrous experience. After one of those walk-in events, I went to that sacred lake, Minnetonka, is it, in Wisconsin. I began to talk to the water. And the diamond beings begin to jump out and do all kinds of things. And a couple other walk-ins were there, and we thought, you know, we're part of that. I mean, I saw the portals in the trees. I just began to interact with the many beings in the invisible worlds that I recognized were medicine allies or, in reality, teachers. Even the diseases are teachers, and we don't study that so much anymore. But they're teachers. Right. And Louise Hayes talks about that. You know, what does this mean? They're teachers. And so it behooves us to listen early so that they don't get a hold and want to make your body their home, you know, till you get the lesson. And I don't want the lesson for most people to be they have to die to instantaneously figure out their divine and then go through the process again. You know? So
that's a little... little extreme after
learning
the lesson.
It is a little extreme, you know? But, you know, the wind tells you things. They sing the day's energies to you. The cloud people show us galactic events. So if you're in tune with it, well, I begin to be doing journeys. I love doing these journeys, and I'd connect with these amazing beings like Dracul. And he had all this stuff about these sacred planets. And that there was initiations, but he doesn't say too much about it. So I thought, gee, I'll go and see what the truth, my truth is. So I'd go traveling around, go back and see who Jesus is, go back. I'd do all these travels to see at those points in times what was really going on. And at this one point, I went to this sacred invisible planet, supposed to be next to the sun, called Vulcan. Now, you know who picked that up, Star Trek, right? And no Spock doesn't live there. But what is it's got the most amazing initiations that take place there. And the masters get on the opposite side of you. They get, there's some kind of galactic mechanism and a ceremony of spinning that aligns you to them. And the planet just lights up and the galactics witness it. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful thing. I've done wedding ceremonies where I've seen the sun lick the bride in a deliciousness energy of her experiences from foot to head. And the connection that she has to the spirit world, who she really is, her connection to the sun, her connection to the planets. I mean, there's just amazing expansion of energies, amazing reconnection to the divine that's going on out there. And so what I was doing was opening portals of release, opening the resistance, releasing it, and then getting those windows of opportunity developed so that people could go through there. And a real good example is one that took place last weekend where I was working with a man who all he wanted was he had that rotator cuff injury. All he wanted to do was get back into construction. And Spirit, the teacher, showed me what the problem was. And so I talked with him about the problem. I saw that. And then it just came to me, you know, this rebirth idea, and I created a parallel reality and asked him to step through it, and he stepped through it. I just saw his back naked in the spirit world step through it, and I opened my eyes and said, he did it. I was so thrilled that he did it. He had to take the step. I mean, I kind of push people sometimes toward things, but not into another reality. He had, he did it, and because I knew in another reality he didn't have that carpal tunnel. And then I just anchored it back. When I opened my eyes, he was rotating that arm in big, wide circles from his body with the most beautiful smile on his face. And I don't know if this a man was on a spiritual path or not. All he wanted was that to let go. And for some reason, he had faith and could feel the energy streams, and he trusted it, and he let it go. So, you know, sometimes people, I've been in a group where people, I think, working with a specific practice. And some of these people have been practicing a long time. So they're the, you know, I'm the master at this, right? And these other people are just new. And I've heard them complain that people will go to the new people without recognition that people go to who they're supposed to go to. That these people are the people that are going to trigger them. It may not have anything to do with that practice at all.
Right.
It's a spirit who they are, John. You know that.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things I want to do with this show and with my website, and that's one of the reasons you're here and why I'm going to invite other people on the show, is there are an incredible number of people on this planet, and we're all here to help somebody. And if I'm not the right one to help somebody, if I can help them to find that person by bringing you on the show to talk, great. So how does someone find you, Leandra?
Oh,
how do they
okay,
talk
well,
to you?
Okay, well, I don't have a website, but I do have an email here on the reservation. So, and it is Medicine Spirit, just like it sounds, Medicine Spirit at WildBlue, because I'm satellite here, WildBlue.net. Right. Medicine Spirit at WildBlue.net.
Absolutely. Perfect. And if somebody didn't get that down or doesn't get it when I say it later or when you say it later, you can always contact me and I can put them in touch with you.
I'd appreciate that, John.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I did want to talk to you about something because...
Please.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. People are, you know, such a struggle for enlightenment, you know. Some people look at it as a struggle. Why won't it happen? Why can't I see... You know, why can that person do this and I can't do it? And here they've got this great genius inside of them that if they were doing it at their peak, we'd be saying, oh, why can't we do that maybe? Because we'd be so impressed with them. But probably not. We'd just say, how fabulous and awesome is that, you know? How
right.
Great. Join the group. Get your medicine bag out and start filling it up. But I wanted to talk to you about an experience that I had in the wilds of Canada that really brought something home to me. And what happened is we were in this pristine wilderness, and this is a big group of people, and I call them enlightened earth masters, and we were doing our work, plus we tended to do Patty Cotarobo's work. We had this event usually a week before she did her thing, and she was doing fifth dimension encodings this year, for Ascension, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, he wasn't on a spiritual path, and he was struggling, as a lot of us who have kids know how that is. He was struggling in his life. Well, he knew I was going to be up there, and he knew, this was family property, so he shows up bringing his girlfriend. It was her birthday, and he was going to surprise me. Well, it surprised me all right. The good news is they're still together. And during the event, the spiritual event, they did their own thing. I mean, sometimes they'd come to a meditation, but they did their own thing. And that Sunday morning, it was our last day, and they said their goodbyes, and they were packing up. Meanwhile, we were all organizing to go up on what I call Spirit Mountain. You've been there, John.
Yep.
So we hike up the mountain to do this final ceremony. And we're up there. I'm doing the ceremony, and all of a sudden, I see in vision the most beautiful angelic being walking by to my left with two caskets, and it was male, on his shoulders, walking by beautiful with these caskets. And he took the one casket and he set it down. And I was so impressed, I opened my eyes. In back of me to the left was my son, who was taking pictures. He'd come up on the mountain to take some pictures of the scenery. And I thought, my gosh, that angelic being is my son. I know it. I recognize it. Isn't this amazing? He's bringing these caskets that have these ascension symbols up here. And he don't have a clue what he's doing. But he had to do it physically, and he did. Spirit called him, and he did. Now, it gets better. So, of course, he's gone by the time we get done with our ceremony. We go down the mountain, and there was a lady who couldn't make it up the mountain. She was too physically infirm. And she says, oh, I need to tell you. I was talking to your son, and I told him he was going to be the most powerful man in the world. Well, I'm sure he thought she was woo-woo, you know, because he was struggling. I saw that he was the most powerful man in the world.
Right.
At that moment, he brought those things, caskets, filled with those encodings, and set them down. It was an amazing experience. And interestingly, we still have the same relationship,
right.
Not with the angelic being, for me, except on the divine level. He turned around. He's going for an engineer degree now, doing very, very well, really.
Wonderful.
But he was, struggling. This young man was struggling. And yet, he did that. And
well,
I know, because I've seen it. Have you experienced that too, John, with people? Seeing their spirits doing amazing things in off-world, I call it off-world, kinds of things? Have you?
I have connected with that, yes.
Yeah.
I don't see.
See in that way. I know.
Yeah.
You have this wonderful channeling of the master's gift.
Well, but and I just know things.
And you know it. That's right. You just know. And the more you reveal yourself and expose yourself, the more you know. Well, I'll tell you, if it can happen to my son, it can happen to anybody. I know everybody's doing it. They are.
Right.
I know this. So,
which is another great gift, because since there's so much chaos out there,
yes,
and so many people are struggling, so many people are opening. That's one of the gifts of chaos and confusion, is that people reach out in ways that they wouldn't.
Yes.
Just before we opened up the show here today, I got an email that spoke to that, and it's not from someone I would have expected it to come from. But it basically was the reminder that we are not given anything on our path that we can't handle, and that we don't have the support behind us to help us do it.
Absolutely. You know, we are all teachers and students.
Yes.
We go through many levels all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. In fact, when you wake up in the morning, it's a completely new day. And for you to think that you can use those same tools you used yesterday, forget it. I think that's one of the things that throw people, John,
yes,
off their path, because they think, well, why isn't this working now? Well, it's not going to. This world, you know, I like to say the big game is expansion of the universe. We're expanding.
Yep.
And if we can recognize that change is a joy, and what's going to happen today? You know?
Right.
Things can turn around in a minute, too. I mean, in good ways also. I mean, not just in bad ways, but in good ways. Great ways, as you and I know, walking the path.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I find interesting is that recently astronomers have decided that the galaxies and the universes are actually speeding up the further away they get from each other. And that, to me, just talks to this expansion. The more we expand, the faster we expand.
Well, time sure is speeding. Look at
yes, it is.
How little time it seems we have in the day now versus, you know, decades ago for some of us, and how much time there was in that day.
Right.
It has speeded up. We're sending.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of that, it's probably about time to get into the channel here at the end.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Are you going to stick around?
Are you kidding? I'm here every week.
Well, I mean on the phone, so I can say goodbye at the end instead of right now.
I will stick around on the phone.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Oh, good. Then I can hear you channel through the phone. That's good.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
All right.
Okay.
So, once more, all the connections are already made, and if everybody would just take a couple of deep breaths, I will allow the toning and we'll bring in whoever else is going to talk to us today. Hello, dear ones. This is Mary, come to be with you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. And I have come to speak briefly about the energy of community. I have come to speak briefly to you about opening up to community. We hear you. We hear you reaching out, crying out, begging for your community to be there. And we say to you, breathe. And open. Because when you open, your community is already there. Your community is already there. And so as you rearrange your conceptions of community, we would give you a foundation. And the foundation of your community for each in body starts with their own body. And how often are you at war with your physical? And how often are you at war with your emotional? And how often are you at war with your mental, or how often are they warring with each other? The more you can seek to come to unify, to open, so that you can perceive, so that you can experience that the physical, the emotional, and the mental are all divine. That every aspect of you is divinity already. That is how you build the foundation for community. Because you must start with the self. And the degree that there is chaos, the degree that there is the experience of separation within the self, is the degree that you will experience that in the world at large, in the so-called external, in that which is this reality of the mirror reflecting back to you. And so when you seek community, seek it first within. Seek it first within. And if you take community apart, you get come and unity. Come into unity. That is what community is. And so that is the first level within the self. And then come into community, come into unity. Open to the unity with your own divinity. It does not matter which you call it. It doesn't matter if you call it soul or higher self, I am presence over soul. There are many terms for the aspect of your divinity that you are not yet fully aware of. Open to that. Open the awareness. Expand the awareness and come into that unity. Come into that community within yourself. And then take it out to the next level. And we're still not looking for physical bodies yet. We're still not looking for other people around to be in community with. At this level, we would take you to remind you of the spirit beings that are with you. And we will talk about three here who are foundational for each of you. And these three walk with each one of you throughout this lifetime. And you have many others that are there
on and off, or they come when you're working with a particular issue. But each one of you has a guardian angel. You've heard this. You know this. Let yourself feel it. Open. Come into unity with your guardian angel. Breathe your guardian angel in. And it doesn't matter. Your guardian angel doesn't care if you know its name. If you do, that is fine. But just as with you, the name is not the truth of the being. It is only a portion. So even if you know the name, open to experience your guardian angel more fully. Breathe your guardian angel in to your presence, into your consciousness. For your guardian is always with you, is always present. The only question is how aware you are of that presence with you. And thank your guardian angel for being there with you. As we move to the second of the three, which is what we will call your master teacher. And again, if you know the name, that is fine, but it is not necessary. It is not imperative. What is more important is knowing and feeling and opening into the union, opening into the community of you with your master teacher. And for most of you, this is an ascended being, someone who has walked this path already through physicality and back into full divine recognition of self. And in that, there is an expansion. There is an expansion that is taking place each and every moment, that opportunity that the Master Teacher brings you in each and every moment to know fully who you are, to bring your fullness there more completely, and allow yourself to open to this experience of your master teacher. Breathe that in and open more consciously to the teachings. And in that way, you will become more aware as you walk forward of what is the next piece, of what is the next piece, of what is the next piece that you are here to experience within yourself and then expose out to the world. For that is why you are here. And so thank your master teacher for being with you throughout this lifetime. And we move to the third, the foundation of the triad, if you will. And that is a spirit animal. And this is a being, again, who walks with you. You may have other animals that come to you at different times for different reasons, but you have at least one that has been with you from before you came out of the womb and will be with you until you depart from the flesh. And that animal is walking with you to help you to remember divinity is flesh, and flesh is divinity when you are in a body. And it is also to give you other lessons that each of these individuals has, of course, for you, to help you into that awareness of your connectedness out to that community, to the community not just of humanity, but of all living beings, of all beings who have consciousness here, the animals, the plants, the minerals, etc. That is the gift that this teacher brings forward for you. So open, breathe that in, come into community with your spirit animal and allow yourself. Again, if you know the species or if you know the name, that is fine, but it is not necessary. Because the experiential goes far beyond just the mental. Remember that. The experiential is far beyond what the capacity of the mental to receive is. And so allow yourself to breathe into that community with this divinity that is this spirit animal, that is your spirit animal. And each of these three, the guardian angel, the master teacher, the spirit animal, has come forward by agreement with you. Agreement with you before you came into the body. You sat down, you had a drink, you said, will you come in and do this for me in this lifetime? And they said, yes, we love you. And you are wondrous. and we will support you as you go into the forgetting. And we will support you as you grow into the remembering. And so here you have a core community. Your three bodies, your higher aspects, your spirit beings. Before there is ever a need to reach out into the family of humanity, which can create another wondrous level of community for you, if you allow it, if you open to it. But in truth, the level of community that you feel that you can connect with is very directly connected to the level to which you are willing to share yourself, your light, your divinity. You are here to be who you are. Let that walk forward. Let that come forth. Allow yourself to burst, if you will, with the light that you carry. That is what shows up in those pictures when they put the halos around the heads. It is that light, the divine light from within bursting forth. You have that within you. Feel the embrace now of your community, the community of the bodies that you are expressing through, the community of the divine aspects that are seeking, opening to come down into you to express more fully. Open into the community of the light beings who are here with you to support you, the spirit beings. Open into the community of the beings of flesh and blood who are here with you on this planet, walking this path of remembering at this time of immensity, at this time of incredible opportunity. And breathe that community into you until you breathe it out, until you feel it as a part of your very breath, until you feel that support in every cell of your bodies. And so we are here as those who came into spirit being to be your guides, to be your teachers. We are here to thank you for being the light that you are, to thank you for choosing to live in body at this time, to thank you for coming forward, to choose to come forward at this time into the expression of your light more fully, to choose to step forward now to expand the light that is expressing through the entirety of this planet, of this solar system, of this galaxy, of this universe. For it is not a small thing that you do. It is not a small being that you are. Your light shines into the infinity of creation. The community goes out far beyond the levels that we have even touched upon here. You are part of the all, and therefore you are connected throughout the all, throughout all of creation. And take in as much of that energy as you can, as much of that truth as you can. Breathe it in deeply to yourself. And thank yourself for choosing to be here. Thank yourself for choosing to be in this body, on this planet at this time. Thank yourself for choosing to step up, to be seen, to be heard, to be creative, to be expressive. Thank yourself and accept our thanks and our love. Namaste, dear ones. Namaste. Whew. And thank you, Mary, and all the other beings out there supporting us at this time. And thank you to all the beings supporting me as I bring this forward with you, co-create it with you all out there. All of you listening are co-creating what comes through every week. And I want to thank once again my special guest this week, Leandra. Thank you so much for coming and sharing and exposing yourself.
My pleasure.
Ah, very good, very good. And give your email address one more time, just in case anybody would like to get in contact with you in the near future or the far distant future.
medicinespirit@wildblue.net.
Wonderful. Well, I will connect with you again tonight, my friend. Which
I'll
actually
be
brings
listening.
Me. Very good. Which brings me to a special offer they brought through for me to do. If anyone contacts me within the next hour who has not yet signed up for the event, I'll tell about the event in a moment, you can get in for 60% off the regular price. So instead of it being $55, you'll get in for $22. But you need to contact me either by email or by phone within the next hour, so until just after 5 o'clock Eastern time. The event that we'll be doing tonight is called Gateway 2011-2012. This is the April full moon activation. This is the fifth of these that we've done, and they have been quite powerful each week or each month, doing them once a month on the full moon. And they have actually given me, through a session yesterday, they gave me some of the pieces of what we'll be doing tonight. And I must say, we're opening the Gateway of Serenity. So if you would like a little more serenity in your life, this is your tool. And even if you can't do it tonight, if you can't do it live, that's fine. It's also by teleconference. If you can't make it by teleconference, it is also available as a recording, and you will get all of the activation and all of the energy out of it, even doing it by the recording. I've had numerous people who've done that and have reported back to me the power that they felt through it as well. So it's going to be live at 7:30 Eastern time tonight, but you can do it as needed. And as I said, you have an hour to contact me to let me know. My email address is on the BBS Radio website, but I'll say it here if you don't know it. It's contactlight@AOL.com. Another note here in as we close things up that I'd like to offer is that I announced last week that each month I'm going to be doing a drawing. One person is going to get an hour of work from me, whether that is an hour channeling session or whether that is a 15-minute channeling session, the tune-in, tune-up session, plus another kind of work that I do. That'll be your choice. But you can't win if you don't enter. And how do you enter? You simply send me some feedback, an email with feedback in it, an email with a topic or a question that you would like to hear about on the show at some point in time, or a suggestion for someone else who might join in as a guest. Now, I must say I have a long list of people that I'll be bringing in as guests, other wonderful light workers that I know that I've worked with in a variety of modalities. All of them are wonderful beings, and so I look forward to sharing more of them with you. But you send in any of those kinds of things, and each week you can put in one more chance to win the drawing. So next week is Easter, and that will be the last show for April. But during that show, I will be will be doing a drawing, and get yourself into it. Now, everybody take one more deep breath. Let yourself integrate whatever it is you've received out of today's show. Just take it in. Thank yourself for taking it. Maybe put your hands on your heart and just breathe into it. And okay. All right, Doug, time to start those chimes up as we close out the show here. Thanks again for joining me to co-create this time together. I cannot create it without you. We're doing it as one community. So let me know what you think. All of your feedback is welcome, good, bad, indifferent. Whatever you have to say, I would love to know. I will be back next week, same time, same place. I hope you will join me once more out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show will go.